Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Here's a fact and a figure that's taken me by surprise. Only about 30% of leaders in the Christian community last finish well. All too often, in fact, the vast majority of them end up over it, burnt out, worn down, ripped apart, disillusioned, despondent. Something is wrong. In a faith that rests on the fact that it's the creator and sustainer of the universe who's actually in charge, who leads, and those who follow that faith and their leaders are to love one another. For 35 years, Dave Kraft has sought to turn back the tide of leaders who don't or can't last. He served with the Brilliant Navigators organisation for 38 years. He's been a pastor at the Mars Hill Church in the US for 8 years and works with Ministry Coaching International. And he's about to come to Australia for a Leaders Who Last conference. So from California, where he lives via Skype, Dave Kraft, welcome to Open House.
Great to be on the program with you. I appreciate your inviting me, and I trust that the Lord will use this.
Great to have you with us. You know what I'm struck by, Dave, is that if any other arena of life, say business or sport or whatever, had such a bad track record with its leaders who don't last, it would pretty well render that arena unviable.
Yeah, totally. It's epidemic. I first ran across this, Lee, by reading some of the writings of a gentleman by the name of Robert Clinton, who's a professor of leadership at Fuller Seminary here in Southern California. And like you, it really caught me by surprise. And he did the research from Scripture, looked at all the leaders he could find in Scripture, and then he did case studies with current leaders, and then he did some studies with people in his classes that were taking classes with him at Fuller Seminary. And so to say that 70% of leaders don't finish well, I thought to myself, this is tragic. This is horrible. From that point on, I decided that I was going to do what I could, and I made a switch in my emphasis in my ministry to start focusing almost exclusively on leaders and doing what I could to help them be able to finish well. And of course, that research and that thinking led me to write the book, Leaders Who Last.
What are the common ways in which leaders in the Christian community don't last, Dave?
Well, I think they don't pay attention to the critical and essential relationships in their life, Lee, primarily their personal relationship with Jesus Christ. When you're in ministry and you get busy and people have demands on your time and they want a piece of you and there's decisions to make and problems to solve, staff to lead, it's very easy to put your time with Jesus sort of on the back burner, as it were.
Yes.
So you're not giving attention to that. You're not spending adequate time in confession, repentance, sitting quietly, reading Scripture, praying, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you, to guide you, slap you alongside of the head if that's what he needs to do. So that's one. Another would be other relationships in your life. If you're married, your spouse, your children. So the nurturing relationships that are around you don't get the attention that they should get. So relationships, I think the lack of critical, essential relationships, nurturing relationships, beginning with Jesus, leads to that. I think another would be lack of accountability. They don't have people in their lives that are asking them the tough questions. So they get into sinful patterns or sinful attitudes, and that harms them. I think a third possible way would be overdoing it in the work arena, where they burn themselves out, where they're putting in too many hours, where they're not practicing a Sabbath, a good balance between Sabbath and work. So there are a few that immediately come to mind, Lee.
What do you see happening to those leaders, most of them, who fall by the wayside then, Dave?
Well, they burn out, they get frustrated because they're hanging by a thread emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically. They tend to make poor decisions. They tend sometimes to operate out of frustration or anger. They could be tired and exhausted a lot of the time, which makes them not as effective as they could be or should be. I think as a result, a lot of them quit or give up. I mean, they've done surveys with pastors and ministry leaders, asking them questions like, how often do you think about giving up or quitting? And the percentages, once again, are kind of scary. So if they continue to lead, they lead poorly, but they're, as Wayne Cordero, an author and a pastor who lives in Hawaii, explains it, that they're leading on empty. In other words, their gas tank is empty. They're living off of fumes. They're not stewarding their time, their energy. They're not sleeping enough. They're not eating well. And so there's just a whole plethora of things that begin to go south because of this. If they're making poor decisions, eventually it catches up with them.
It's still striking me that this is happening of all arenas within the Christian faith. Is there any other arena of leadership that's frankly is this bad in our community, society, or world?
I think exhaustion, burnout, a lack of practicing Sabbath, of overdoing it on the work and not taking enough time for sleeping, eating, so forth. I just finished reading a book a few days ago. I think the title of it was Sleep, Eat, and Move. It just came out within the last several months, as far as I know. And it's talking about adequate sleep, adequate exercise, adequate eating habits or appropriate eating habits. So for a book to get out there that's making the rounds that has to do with eating and sleeping and getting exercise, and it lets me know that it's a problem out there across the board. There's a lot of overweight people, sleep deprivation. I've read this costing the American culture millions, if not billions of dollars a year. Medical issues because of all this not pacing, not engaging and disengaging, practicing Sabbath. Interestingly enough, that the business world is talking about the concept of Sabbath as well as the Christian world.
That's a theme we've very frequently covered on Open House, and how much we've lost that kind of concept. Can I ask you this kind of fundamental question? As you look at leadership, how do you define what leadership is? Are we just talking about leaders of churches as well? I take it the concept of leadership you're talking about is much broader than that. What is a leader? What are they doing? What should they be doing?
That's an excellent question. There are hundreds of books written on this topic. I have a working definition of a leader that I have borrowed from a guy named Marcus Buckingham, who's from England. His definition is a leader is a person who has certain attributes, abilities, characteristics that enable them to rally people to a better future. So I put leadership in three arenas, and it's actually the three arenas that the seminar that we're going to have that Saturday, I think it's the 7th of December in Sydney, it starts with a credible life, not a perfect life, but a credible life that's honest, it's open, it's real, it's transparent, it's modeling certain things. And I think it's out of this life that a leader hears from God. So we go from a credible life to a compelling vision. This assumes that the leader, the Christian leader, is listening to God, is hearing, is understanding what God is saying to him or her. They begin to have a burden, a vision, a calling to make a difference. Then they intentionally, deliberately, proactively try to rally people to this vision, this better future, as Buckingham calls it, that they see. So I define a leader as somebody who is living a certain kind of a life, who has a vision, and this would pertain to the business world, to the educational system, business, sports, government. It doesn't make any difference what arena you're talking about. I think a leader today is a person who is living a credible life, especially in the areas of honesty, integrity, character, the way they treat and relate to people. So all of that composes who this leader is. And then this leader begins to have a burden, a vision for something that needs to change. They begin to talk about this because of who they are. People rally around them. The leader is able to rally these people to move toward that vision. And then they build a team, which is the third piece. So we have a credible life, a compelling vision, a cohesive team. And the team then are people that he or she selects to lead with them to help them accomplish this vision that they have.
Dave, is one of the challenges about all this the fact that not everybody is necessarily cut out to be a leader, and some people find themselves in a place where they probably should never have been, that it even involves a calling?
Yeah, I believe that leadership is a gift, just like administration is a gift or teaching is a gift. I think there's a gift of leadership. I think everyone leads in one way or another. But when I'm using the term leadership, I'm talking about a person who is a gifted leader, is walking with God in the Christian context, who is hearing from God about a vision, and then the leadership comes in that they are proactively, deliberately, intentionally trying to move other people from where they are to somewhere else. And I don't think everyone either is gifted in doing that or wants to do that.
No. Perhaps one of the most difficult and, as I've observed it, costliest arenas for a Christian leader is conflict. Why doesn't the Christian community do conflict better than it does?
Lee, you've got some great, great questions. I mean, that is an issue today. There's a lot of leaders who are afraid of conflict, who don't want to upset the apple cart, don't want to offend people. There are lots of things. On my website, if I could just mention my website, davecraft.org, that's all you need to go there, Davecraft, D-A-V-E-K-R-A-F-T.org. And you type in the word in the search line, conflict. There are numerous articles that will come up because I've dealt with this quite frequently.
Yes.
I mean, it is something that a leader has to be able to sit down and confront, to conflict with other people. And the reason it's tricky is because a lot of leaders don't want to offend people. They don't want to lose people. They don't want to upset people. So many times they will avoid conflict, hoping that if they just leave it alone and they're nice, considerate of people, the conflict will resolve itself. But that's not been my experience. My experience is if you leave conflict alone and don't do anything with it, it actually will get worse.
Yes.
You have to somehow sit down and have those difficult conversations, those difficult confrontations with people. You need to do it in love. You need to speak the truth, and you need to do it in loving ways. One of the things that goes with the territory, as it were, is to be able to have conflict and deal with difficult conversations and difficult people.
Yes, and do it with honesty. And sometimes that's going to involve tough love, tough honesty.
Yeah, agreed. Conflict is not foreign to Scripture. They had conflicts within the 12, you know, where they were accusing one another of things, and there was pride and ego among the early disciples. Paul had conflicts with Peter. Paul and Barnabas had conflicts with each other over John Mark. So in Acts 15 is a huge conflict brewing about Judaism and how much of the Jewish laws needed to be followed when people became Christians. So the whole church was at a very conflicting moment when they needed to make some decisions about what kinds of demands or what kinds of expectations they would put on brand new Christians from the Jewish point of view. And that was a huge conflict. That whole Acts 15 is a chapter about conflict and how they resolved it.
So all of this has been directed to the people you equip for leadership. Are there things that also need to be said to the people who follow? Because when a leader blows up or burns out, that leader is never the only one involved in that process.
There are a lot of mistakes. And one of the other big mistakes that's made is when you put a leader up on a pedestal, make him like the Pope. He can do no wrong. Every thought he has is from God. Every decision he makes is the right decision. And then you set people up for disappointment when that leader falls, or that leader makes a mistake, or that leader sins in a very prominent public way. People get disillusioned. They get discouraged. They want to leave the church or leave the organization. They're disappointed in their Christian experience because of what happened to this leader. So that's why I think when we talk about a credible leader, Lee, we're not talking about a perfect leader. I think the leader needs to be vulnerable and honest. He or she needs to say things like, I'm sorry, it was my fault, I made a stupid decision. I've been studying David and Saul in recent weeks. And in fact, I wrote an article on my website, and I called it David's Other Sin. And we all know about David and Bathsheba, but there was another big sin that cost the lives of 70,000 people. And most people don't think about that one or don't even know about that one. But in both cases, David confessed. David said, it's my fault. I acted very foolishly. I made a great mistake. Saul did the same thing when he was chasing David. And I think it's 1 Samuel 26:21. He says, I've acted foolishly. I've made a great mistake. The difference is I don't think Saul meant it from the bottom of his heart. There wasn't true repentance there. So he turned around and made the same mistake over and over. Eventually wound up committing suicide. David made the mistake. He repented of it. And it, as far as I know, he's the only person in the Bible that God said that his heart was perfect toward God.
It's interesting, beyond the Bible, corporate leadership today has also got some of this idea. Level 5 leadership, Jim Collins. Humility is at the very, very heart of it. That's the defining difference.
In most cases, in most arenas, Christian, church, business, government, private sector, public sector, I think people are tired of this flawless, top-down, dictatorial, command and control leader. Yes. They want to see a humble leader who's willing to applaud other people, willing to give credit where credit is due, willing to say, I don't know, willing to say, I was wrong, it was my fault, I apologize, I'm sorry. That's all part of, I think, Lee, being a credible leader.
Dave, with all the people you've worked with to equip or followed yourself, is there one leader who stands out for you, who you can point to say, this is what leadership is about?
Yes, there's one guy in particular I'm thinking about. His story is, I think he's a level 5 leader that Jim Collins talks about. He's been in the same church for almost 30 years. He's in his 60s now. I think in the next year or so, he's going to step down. But I have worked with him. I was on staff with him for 10 years. I think he's the most teachable, a humble, gentle, gracious guy I've ever worked with. But at the same time, he's not afraid to make the tough decisions. He's not afraid to call sin, sin. I've seen him let go of staff people. He's done it in a very diplomatic, gracious way, but he has let staff go. And I think he exemplifies all that I can think of in good leadership.
And he's lasted.
He's 62, 63 years old. Yes. I mean, he's going to do something different. He's not going to retire, but he's moving on to something different. He has definitely lasted and lasted well.
So you're on the way to Australia for this day-long conference. It's at the Multicultural Bible Ministry, Rudy Hill in Sydney, Saturday, December 7. And you can find out more from www.mbmleadership.com.au, and we'll put that link up on our Open House Community Facebook page. Dave, hope the trip goes well, and the conference, I'm sure, will be a great help to many. Thank you so much indeed for sharing your wisdom
with
us.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome, Lee. Glad to be with you.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.